I don't want to ask the question, is Jesus worth it? Amen. Now, I was hoping to get in because I knew you'd do that. I was hoping to say before anyone responded, hold on to your response. Because if you answer amen or yes, you will be absolutely correct. And therefore, I won't have any need of preaching tonight. And that's not going to work. Actually, tonight I want to ask the question, probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 times. And I'm going to give you a bit of warning. One of the answers is different. Okay? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 14. Is Jesus worth it? And I want to go back over his earthly ministry. When we get to the Mark 14 passage in just a minute, we're again dealing with something at the very end of his earthly ministry. But I want to start at the very beginning. Look at it, first of all, from the perspective of Mary. The angel Gabriel comes to her and says, God has chosen you for a task. But, as wonderful as the privilege is, well, there's going to be problems. And one of the problems was, as viewed in her earthly, in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, she was accused of fornication. They came to Christ in his ministry and they said to him, we be not the Pharisees, we be not born of fornication, and the idea is as you were. In other words, your mother wasn't pure in your conception. Mary would have to sacrifice her reputation of godliness and purity in order to be the one who would bring the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. If you would ask Mary, was it worth it? Was Jesus worth it? Well, I'm sure she would say, yes, he was. Well, what about Joseph? Joseph also would have to give up something in order to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus. Again, it deals somewhat with reputation, but not so much a reputation of godliness and purity, but intelligence. Here is the man who was told by his fiancée, if you want to use that term, that she had become pregnant without ever going through the natural process of conception. That the child that is now within her was an act of God and not man. And he believed it. What an idiot. What a moron. Who in the world, who in their right mind would believe such a far-flung story, such as a virgin conceiving? And that's how he would be known. And if you ask Joseph, was Jesus worth it? What do you suppose he would have answered? I would say, undoubtedly, it was worth it. Well, what about on the night that Jesus was born? We'll read in Luke chapter 2 that there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night in the field. And the angel appears to them and tells them of the good news. And they said, come, let us go and see this. Now, these shepherds very possibly were hired shepherds. It could be that they were the owners of the sheep, but in that there was a plurality of them, tend to believe that there was one owner of the sheep and a number of shepherds that were hired to watch these sheep. Nonetheless, they're going to leave the sheep and go into Bethlehem to see Christ. Who's going to watch the sheep? Someone could come along and steal the sheep. Someone could come along, such as a bear or some other ravenous animal, kill the sheep. And those shepherds, especially if they were hired, could possibly lose their job in order to go to Christ. If you ask the shepherds, was Jesus worth it? What do you suppose they would answer? I tend to believe they would say, yes, he was. Well, you get on down a couple of weeks, I believe, later. Actually, if part of the story happens that very night, there's the Magi, the wise men, probably out in Babylon. The scripture says they're in the east. More than likely, that's a reference to Babylon. I asked the question this morning, why did they see the star? And the answer was, they were watching. Somebody was listening. They were watching. But they didn't know what night that star was appearing. So night after night after night after night after night after, you get the idea, they were watching. And night after night after night. Hey, you see the star? No, no star tonight. Next night, no star tonight. Next night, no star tonight. Is it worth it staying up, watching out the window for a star to appear? Is Jesus really worth it? What do you think the Magi would have said? I think so. You get into the ministry of John the Baptist. His father, Zacharias, would undoubtedly tell him what his ministry was going to be. And John was going to have to play second fiddle. He was going to be, you've got the comedian and the straight man, the setup guy. And I please don't take that to mean that Jesus was a comedian. I'm just talking about in an earthly relationship, you have the star and the co-star. John was going to have to be the second one. In fact, he himself was going to have to say, he must increase and I must. Oh boy, and everyone likes to say, boy, I wish I was nothing. And if you'd asked John about the opportunity of being the one who would prepare the way of the Lord, was Jesus worth it? I think he would have said yes. Then there were the apostles, called by the Lord Jesus Christ to follow Him. And for 3 years of their lives, they went wherever He went. Gave up their jobs, gave up their reputations, put their families on hold, very possibly. And at the end of the 3 years, as they were getting down to the end of the earthly ministry of Christ, they came to Him and they said, look, we've given up everything. What's in it for us? Well, they got to be the foundation of the church. They were given the keys to the kingdom. And if you'd asked the apostles, was Jesus worth it? What do you suppose? Well, yep, I'd say, they'd say. Oh, by the way, guys, some of you are going to be martyred for my sake. Was Jesus worth it? We come to Mark chapter 14, and here's the next one. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as He sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on His head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? she hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. Whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Here is a woman. John's gospel tells us her name was Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. At this dinner, John tells us that Martha was serving, as Martha was tending to do. And along comes Mary, and she has this bottle of, if you will, perfume. I guess it couldn't be perfume. For a guy, it would have to be cologne. But nonetheless, something to anoint his body. She breaks it open, she anoints him, and they get upset because this thing was very, very expensive. And could have been used for other purposes. Five things here tonight. First of all, the custom of the anointing. They had no problems with the fact that she was anointing him. In fact, it was customary, especially at a dinner, that the guest of honor be anointed with something. Now, you probably all have in your mind a picture of the Last Supper from, what was it, Da Vinci, I think? Drew that thing, painted that thing. And they're all at a table. There was no table. In these biblical times, they were literally seated on the floor. And consequently, they were laying down, usually on their arm, like this, or this way, and eating, and then the next person would be right at that person's feet, all together. Well, when you came in from the outside, the host of the dinner was supposed to wash your feet. And as you get into John chapter 13, you have Jesus washing the feet because that had been neglected. But not only did they wash the feet to make it a little bit more appealing to be right next to each other, but they would probably give you a little bit of the anointing oil or some aromatic thing so that as you're close together, and especially if it was warm outside, it wouldn't be too bad to be right there. So this was a common, ordinary thing for the anointing. This, though, that Mary was doing was something special. Her cause for the anointing, the custom, normal. The cause, though, I believe, was different. Now, Bible interpreters are kind of divided on what the cause was. I believe this regular anointing had already taken place, that this was something special. I believe that she understood that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was imminent. A lot of Bible interpreters say that she couldn't have understood that. I think that's the reason for verses 1 and 2. I think she probably had an inkling, because of the activity of the religious leaders there, that they were plotting to kill him, and that his death was imminent. And she's bringing this as a last opportunity to minister to her, to him, to worship him with her abilities. And she's bringing this thing apparently in after they are all seated. For she's able to anoint not only his head, as it says here in Mark chapter 14, but in the other Gospels, she anointed his feet as well. And therefore, you would understand that he is reclined on the ground. The case for the anointing. She had one last opportunity to worship her Lord. But we get into the cost. Notice the cost of the anointing. It says here this anointing was, or this ointment was, very precious. And then when they start complaining about it, they said it could have been sold for more than 300 pence. A pence in Bible times was the common wage of an ordinary worker for a day. So if we're talking more than 300 pence, we're talking roughly a year's wages. This was expensive stuff. she brought this in and she broke the thing open, poured it over him. I mean, she just lavished the thing on him. She didn't hold anything back. And certainly, she could have used something less expensive, couldn't she? Well, yeah, she could have. But she chose something that was very extravagant. And consequently, there was the criticism of this anointing. Hey, you could have taken this, you could have used something less. We don't really have any problems with you doing this. But, you know, let's be practical about this. Let's use a little something less. I don't even know why you're doing it, but that's okay. You do whatever you want to do. But, man, we could have sold this and given the money to the poor and really done something of practical value. After all, what good is it going to do Jesus? I could go into a message on giving right now. I'm going to go into a very short message on giving. Just make one quick little point. Does God need our offerings? The answer is no. Well, we could use them on something far more practical. Is God honored by our offerings? Is He worshipped by them? Yes, He is. Well, let's move on. They're criticized. Why were they criticizing her? Well, I guess you have a point there about the practicality of this ointment. But there's a more important thing that's going on here. We read in the other Gospels, it was the disciples that were the ones who were criticizing her. And chief amongst the disciples in the monetary aspects was a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. He was the treasurer of the group. And not only that, we read in the other Gospels, he was always dipping into the funds. He wanted this thing sold, not because it could be given to the poor, but he could get a commission out of it. That was his motive. And now he's not going to get anything from it. Well, what's the consequence here? Look at what Jesus said. Verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has done what she was capable of doing. She had this. Apparently, it had taken her some time to accumulate this thing or accumulate the finances to buy it. But she had accumulated the thing. She had purchased it possibly for this very act. And she was not going to be denied doing it. Knowing possibly that the time of his burial was coming. This was an act of worship. She had one opportunity to take it, and she was going to take it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Look, there will be other opportunities to minister to the poor. I'm only going to be around a short while. 2 more days and I'm out of here. That's what he's saying. You need the opportunity now to worship me. And consequently, verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Need to be careful in verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel, what is this gospel? Well, we say the gospel was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Well, we got one problem. He hasn't died, he hasn't been buried, and he hasn't risen again at this point in time. That cannot be the gospel that they are referring to here. Not only that, as they go, if you read through the book of Acts, preaching the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, never once is this act mentioned. But Jesus says, wherever this gospel is preached, this also shall be spoken for a memorial. They never once spoke that. Now, two possibilities. Jesus was confused and wrong, or this gospel doesn't refer to the death, burial, and resurrection. Understand that the word translated gospel literally means good news. Technically, in context, it generally refers to the death, burial, and resurrection. That ultimately is the best news. But in context here, wheresoever this good news, she's come, she's worshipped me, she spent an extravagant amount on me. And notice what he says. Let her alone, verse 6. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work. That's the good news. Here is somebody who gave all that she had for me. And I want you to know, whenever this story is, this good news is proclaimed throughout the world, I want you to know it's a memorial, it's a testimony, it's a tribute to her. I appreciated what she did. If you would ask Mary, was Jesus worth it? But hold on. I told you there would be one that's different. Verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when he heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Well, Judas, he was upset. Here's a whole ton of money that he wasn't going to get any of. He was upset with what was going on in this whole kingdom thing. It just didn't seem to be happening, and the leadership is turning against Christ, and it doesn't look like the kingdom's going to come, and it doesn't. If the kingdom doesn't come, he's not going to get his position of authority, and in his position of authority, he's not going to get all the riches that would be associated with it. So he says to himself, where am I going to get something of value for Jesus? And he betrays the Lord. He goes to the Pharisees and barters with them for 30 pieces of silver. They were all too happy to give it to him. And he went away and did his deed. In the end, though, you know the rest of the story, I assume. Overcome. I mean, he goes and he brings the guard with him into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus calls him friend. And he says, will you betray me with a kiss? Oh, man, that must have gone right through him. And in the days that would follow, he would see the one that he's followed for 3 years be tortured and beaten and crucified. And he couldn't deal with it. And the scripture tells us he went out and he hanged himself. If you would ask Judas, was Jesus worth it in betrayal? No. What's the point? Whatever you have, no matter how great or how small, given to the Lord Jesus, it's always worth it. Reputation with Mary and Joseph, position of authority with John the Baptist, staying up late at night, putting yourself out when it's inconvenient for the Magi, potential loss of job with the shepherds, and even a loss of life with the apostles. Was it worth it? Sure was. But whenever you try to sell out Jesus, no matter how great of a reward you get from it, is it worth it? This Mary is a testimony to that. I encourage you tonight, take all that you have and bring it to Christ. It's worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this testimony tonight of this woman. And Lord, may we be like her, taking everything that we have and bring it to you in an act of worship. For we recognize that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You gave everything for us. It is only fitting that we do the same. Lord, I thank You tonight for the life that we have. I thank You for the joy of knowing Christ as Savior. And I pray if there's even one here tonight who does not know that joy, that tonight might be a night for their salvation. And may they be found rejoicing and giving themselves to Christ. To that end, we pray in His beloved name. Amen. Have a good week.